Hello, everybody. This is Stu Smith along with Jeff Nichols, and today we're going to be on part three of our law enforcement and firefighter fitness series. This one we're going to focus on more, you're an active duty police officer or firefighter, and you're just trying to stay fit for your job, but also we'll take it up a notch and say you're an active duty police officer or firefighter who is trying to also prepare for some form of selection program that gets you onto a SWAT team or a special response team, or maybe the public safety diver rescue team. You know, there's so many different, you know, depending on where you live, it's fairly regional on what type of special ops units that these departments have. But typically there's a test that's involved and there is a selection process that's involved, and that may take not just weeks to train for, it might take several months or maybe even a year, you know, to be able to train for that type of stuff. So Jeff, I would say this. Hey, I got a couple questions from the previous one, and they were mainly just say, like, how do I do this on shift work? You know, I worked the night shift for a week and then I worked the day shift for a week, or, you know, there's so many random different ways to, you know, do your employment, whether you're a police officer or firefighter. I've heard 100 different ways, you know, so
yeah.
But I guess the question I always get is, like, what do you do when you have the night shift? Where do you fit in your workout?
Yeah. Right. And there's a couple things that's, I think all of you are starting to see where Stu and I's head is at, is, you know, we keep saying what if, and depending on this and depending on that. And I think that just take a step back and try to be as objective as possible. Let's say that you're like on the third shift and it's odd hours, right? So I think third shift is probably like 7 to 6, 7 p.m. to something like that, right? 8 or 9 to 6 a.m. yeah, it just depends on the job. But my point is that first, above all else, there's two priorities before training. They're more important in some regard, but those two things will allow you to train and create a routine. So really maybe three. Don't omit sleeping. Again, some of those weird shifts will allow, we can talk even deeper later at a different time about, like, okay, how to prepare for a sleep routine when you're on a crazy shift. Okay. But so don't omit sleep. Try to get a good sleep routine. Number two, don't omit meals. Like if those two things are being consistent with, even in an inconsistent world of shift work, then you're more apt to get into a training cycle around those meals.
Yeah.
Even in your off time, it's we don't want to think that now the circadian rhythm and all those sort of weirdness that works with light, missing light shifts and stuff can change. But let's look at it. Well, what do you do during the day? Well, people will typically get up in the morning. They'll have some food. Maybe they do some for themselves, whatever it is. Then they get to the gym. They refuel. They prepare for their shift coming on, so on. It's not that not that different, in my opinion.
Right, right. Yeah, I agree. If you have a day shift, it's pretty regular. But what I've always found that if I was working nights is that as long as I worked out before my work, I was a lot better, you know. Yeah. So like instead of, you know, like in the regular day, you know, you work out before work and you get to work and you do your shift and break for breakfast, break for lunch, you know, maybe even get something else in the afternoon if you have a spare time to exercise or at least walk or something to kind of wake up, and then, you know, come in the evening. And maybe if you're really starting to train for something hard, you might even want a second workout, you know, in the evening, you know, before you go to eat dinner, or maybe even after dinner. But what I've always found is that if I was working nights, to work out right before that shift started. So right before sunset or right at sunset, or depending on when you were starting, you know, and that really helped me stay awake a little longer than I normally want to be going to bed about 10:30 at night. But if I'm working out at 9:30 or 10, you know, that really helps me stay up throughout the, you know, early morning time. But then I still treat, like Jeff said, still treat midnight like lunch.
Yeah.
You know, treat mid-afternoon or mid, you know, 3 or 4 in the morning like some kind of snack.
Yeah.
You know, you can't skip those meals just because you don't normally, eat at midnight and 4:30 a.m. You know, treat those like, you know, you need that fuel.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing for me working nights was you had to prepare a little bit more for working nights because you had to think a little bit more about how you're going to feed yourself, because the availability of some foods in the evenings is not there. Again, I'm not even talking just about going to like a Subway or something. I'm talking about even access to a lot of grocery stores, depending where you're at, may not be open 24 hours to grab food and those sort of things. But so I look at it as if, well, there's two other things too, like some of those night shifts, or some people say train before, and that's the kind of the way the person that I was, I do the same thing. I would almost lump that training as part of my work. And I know a lot of places, not a lot, maybe not as many as we should, but you get paid. I know in Australia and places and other in the United States, some departments, those law enforcement, fire get paid time to train, right? So because right. they're on site, some of their training facilities are on site.
Right.
So they show up, basically punch their clock, they train for that hour, you know, hit the shower, grab some food, and then they're right on call. So, and I know that even like with firefighters, a lot of firefighters have some training in their firehouse space provided. But now the other side as well, a lot of people want to train when they get done working, and that allows them maybe to unwind from their job. It's their own personal time, and they go sleep. I guess the point of all of this is that whichever one works best for you.
True.
Right. And then refine it. Cause like I said, some people ask me, well, how do I train this, that? Well, if we change too many variables at once, it's going to be hard to measure what's effective and what's not. So just take a look back and go, okay, what do you think works for you? Try it. Try it a couple of times. If it doesn't work, make one or two changes. Don't make a ton of changes.
Right. Yeah. That's a really good one. Yeah, I found this too, is if you're going to work out, and put it this way, if you're training to stay in shape for your job, you know, you don't have to go hardcore workouts every day. I mean, you need right. to have some decent workouts every day, 4 or 5 days a week. But, you know, also plan in there a day off, plan in there an easy mobility day, you know, right. like on a day that you've just stayed up for 24 plus hours. It was highly stressful. You know, just being able to just go home, walk your dog, and stretch at the end of the day might be a better option for you than go do some high intensity interval training workout that it's going to just stress you out even more.
Yeah. So this is the tactical community is one of the reasons why block periodization exists. The reason why is that this is how my brain works. Like you get a bunch of blocks and on each block you write your program, and it's in a systematic, linear, or purposely undulating at times program. And it's not Monday is chest day and Tuesday, it's just day 1, 2, 3. Let's say those blocks go all the way out to 14 days. Okay, on a counter, 7 by 7. You work, you know, you hit that training, you work, hit the training, you have a really tough work day. What do we do with that block? Everything gets shifted to the right.
Yep.
So that way, international bench day, people don't go, oh, I got to get bench in on Wednesday, whatever it is. Like, it doesn't, in the tactical population, we are better served with quality training that's not going to take away from our work life and vice versa, or your family life even. So, that's the simplest programming solution, because they're like, well, what if I'm on for 48 hours? Well, yep. Slide it another 24. Or exactly what Stu has already said, well, maybe you don't need to take two full days off, but one of those days is really just a good mobility, good long walk. Like just spend some time, you know. And I've seen it before where firefighters are on call and it's just been a crazy day and they have, you know, a rower or an exercise bike. They just get on the bike, not in their turnout gear, but they're in their unders and just cruising on a bike nice and easy.
Yep. Yeah. And you're really what you're trying to do there. And we can talk a little bit about it physiologically and stress hormone wise is that, you know, it's a stressful job, these police and firefighter jobs. I mean, you are seeing things that are highly stressful. And, yeah, you know, the workload is stressful. And being able to kind of help your body metabolize that stress, you know, sometimes you just have to focus on engaging that parasympathetic nervous system by just breathing, you know, getting some big, good, nice, steady cardio. Can be a steady walk. Doesn't have to be sprints or anything like that, no, where you're going anaerobic, just nice, steady, moderate heart rate. Like I said, walking a dog, that's a great one. You know, and just getting out and stretching and doing that. Yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
I was going to say, because, you know, we understand the difficulty of that. Like, it sounds easy. We say it, right? But we know that the vast majority of you, the police and fire, and to include the military, are very not aggressive in a bad way, but alpha type, A type personality. And you're like, I'm not going to, you know, like, I'm just going to push hard and push hard. But again, our goal is this, is that it's very common in the military tactic, the military police and law enforcement space, even more so in the law enforcement and fire, is that the careers are longer than 3 and 4 years. We want to look at the longevity of that career, not just the day or the week or the month. And what we'll do is, if we, here's the goal. Let's not have any missed training days due to injury. Okay, yep. That's our one goal. Well, what does that mean? It means, well, if we're smart about our programming, we throttle back when we need to, but when we throttle up when we can, what you're going to do is you're going to look back at your calendar year and go, holy crap, I only missed one day of training because of, like, whatever, injury, illness. Now, you're going to miss some days because of work is crazy, but that's just the nature of life, and that, especially in this workspace. But that's the beauty, is if you have no missed training days because you weren't overtrained, you might be pushing the envelope a little bit at times, but now you have an entire year of non-missed training, you're going to feel better. You will have those adaptations. You'll be more resilient. You'll be more fatigue resistant, and that's our goal.
Yeah, you know, I am not a fan of taking an easy day. You know, I don't like doing it. However, I'm always glad I did. And so, yes, I actually, now that I'm over 40, have been forcing myself on day 3 or day 4 of my workout week, and I usually work out 6 days. Day 3 or day 4, I place in there where I think I need it the most, a mobility day. Yep. And it's just a nice, easy, non-impact cardio, stretching and foam rolling. That's it.
Yeah. I mean, this is the timing. It could be perfect or whatever, is that, you know, when I get sick, I get really sort of sick if I don't manage it. I mean, that's just because of my hormonal just weirdness probably, but but we just, again, long story short, we just adopted 2 animals from the pound, and just, I'm not allergic to animals, but I started getting a sinus infection. Then we adopted the animals last week on Tuesday. And then, man, it hit me hard, a bad sinus infection. And in the past, I'd have been like, you know what, I'm going to get a good workout in, raise my body temperature, get all that mucus out, and then just see what happens. And inevitably, almost every time at the end of my career, I mean, almost every time, it was stupid because I didn't learn from my mistakes, was I would either get bronchitis.
Yep.
And then the last 2 times I got pneumonia.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, so my point is this week, it became like I have an assault bike, and my gym here at the house is getting quite comfortable because I have a flat screen TV and Apple TV and the internet and everything in there.
Nice.
So I just sat the assault bike in front of the TV, and I just really easily just pedaled and watched 30 minutes of a movie, right? Because I want to work out. I want to train. But I knew that if I pushed to where I could still, I'm still capable because I wanted a deadlift and I wanted a squat and I wanted to do all these things. But now what happened is, and so I've been pretty good the last 3 days. I was able to deadlift yesterday. I'll squat or bench press and deadlift day four. Now today I'm a squat. Now, if I had not taken the moment to let my body heal, I'd probably still be sick it'd be worse. I got to the point where I managed all of my holistically. I didn't get antibiotics. I just ate as much as I could eat, drank as much food as I could drink, take as many vitamins and stuff as I could. And now I'm gonna reap the benefits because I didn't lose any body weight. I didn't lose any strength.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's my soapbox speech. It's tough to do, and I feel the same way Stu does. I want to train often, and I want to train hard often.
Yeah.
The only way I can do that is if I'm healed.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. In fact, I remember usually every fall around here in Maryland, you know, the pollen's coming down and, you know, it's just, start getting it right here. And then I just keep running. I keep running through it. I keep pushing hard. And I, just like you said, it's a self-induced bronchitis.
Yeah.
Just gave myself bronchitis because I just ran through that. And then it started getting down here and it goes into my lungs. And yeah, a few times I've had, you know, some form of pneumonia as well. And that's just stupid, you know, cause then I'm down for like 3 months, you know, and
trying to get back to baseline.
Yeah. It hurts your lungs to do anything. It's just, yeah, not fun.
Yeah. And see, that's the thing too, is I look at it like this. I treat it. This is how I've had to change my head into this. Like, so like, for example, when I travel to two, three or four days, those 2, 3, 4 days are about stimulate, don't overstress. I might train, I may not. I might just be in the hotel doing it. Typically now, unfortunately, places I go, I'm going there to teach or coach at a gym or something or a facility. So I'll do 20-minute just something, like just do some pull-ups or do whatever.
Yeah.
And so that's – or it becomes a mobility thing. I pull out the foam rollers and the I have the car buffer and the vibrating foam roller and all those sort of things and the Theraguns. And basically those 3 or 4 days that I was down that I – this last week, they just became a way for me to heal my body to the point where when I was ready to go again, I went, I just launched.
Yeah.
Nice. So I didn't miss a step. I didn't miss a step at all.
Nice. All right. So we get a lot of police and firefighters, typical emails. I know you've probably trained a few, yourself there, you know, with the folks that you do, and you know, they're active duty police officers, get some firefighters too that maybe are training for something hardcore like that that firefighter challenge.
Yep.
That's a lot of fun. Those guys are
serious.
Those guys are really good athletes. And you know, then we also have a couple of locals here that have gone on to do like their FBI field agent SWAT team and then on to HRT.
Yep.
Which is pretty hardcore. I mean, that's like going through a hell week. So those type of things, you know, I highly recommend, you know, like Jeff was saying, the block periodization is don't think of your workout as a workout of the day. You know, that, I hate that term personally, workout of the day, because that workout of the day has to fit into a workout of a year, you know, workout of the week, a workout of the month, a workout of the year. You know, it has to make sense in the big picture if your goal is one of these special ops programs.
Right. Yeah. And I think that that's the big thing is I've had just a lot of really good inquiry the last couple of days from firefighters and police. And, you know, I did a video that was just, hey, tactical is just a term.
Yeah.
Right. But here's the home run of it is that, whether it's tactical or sport, if what the program is trying to elicit isn't congruent with what the goals are, then it doesn't matter what it is. That's the whole point. But so the tactical that I say is that Stu and I are programming is we need the amount of volume that you guys are going to undertake in these programs is absurd. It's borderline reckless because they're selection courses.
Yeah.
So we've got to get work volume so high in our training so you can handle those work volumes. But it has to still be systematically. And I think that that's where us as educators, that's really what we've got to share with you all is that, okay, we want you, you know, you hear Stu a lot and I talk a lot about taking it easy and days off and stuff, but
you got to earn those.
Yeah, but at the same time, when you're training with one of us, we're going to train your ass off, but we're going to do it really smartly.
Right.
Okay, so don't mistake us for, you know, talking about recovery all the time. I mean, we're prepared and we do ourselves train hard, but so I think that that's I know with the tactical population, we want to make sure that, especially for the selection courses, because again, it might be the only time, even around a busy work schedule, that you'll have, hey, here's how many push-ups, pull-ups, and runs, and swims, and these physical feats that I need to do, like rope climbs or ladder climbs and dummy drags. Mm-hmm. You know how much that dummy weighs, or how what that distance is you have to carry X load. So we can program for those. I mean, it's forgive the vernacular, but it's there in of itself. Each one of those is a sporting event, like a decathlete. Yeah. Now, yeah. I'm not trying to compare sport and the tactical population, but again, that's we can't program like what that day is going to encounter if you're a police officer on the job. But what we can do is program to handle all those planes of movements and energy systems, especially in a selection course.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. And you know, there are some specifics that are required for your training. You know, your training of the year needs to start looking like, you know, some of the events that your selection process is going to have you do. And you'll hear what the scuttlebutt is. You know, you'll know what's going on with, you know, the rumors of training, you know, why somebody failed out previously. Was it treading water with no hands or running, you know, with your full body armor and a weapon up 5 flights of stairs 10 times? You know, there's all types of different things that people fail, and those words get out. Sometimes they get over exaggerated, you know, and they turn into rumors, like our one rumor podcast Jeff and I did about buds. They get the same way in these other selection programs too. So, you know, and I think that's why Jeff and I are always constantly talking about recovery, because most of the people that we see are borderline wanting to overtrain all the time, and they wind up breaking themselves. And like Jeff and I was talking the other day about this one kid in my group that, you know, he's a great runner. You know, he's a superstar runner, will have no problem running when he gets to buds, and he's going to go run a 100-mile race, you know, just for fun. You know, that's a gut check for him. I'm sure it's a gut check for anybody, but is that necessary? You know, those are type of things as a coach I have to keep pulling back, you know. So he promised me that when he was done with that, he was going to not run anymore. Hopefully he's not injured, and, you know, we're going to lift all winter. You know, there's no more running for him, and we're just going to lift all winter and put some mass on him. So those are type
there's
of
always
things.
Always a trade-off, yeah.
Yeah, those are type of things as trainers that we're trying to balance, because we all have weaknesses, and we tend to not want to work on our weaknesses as students.
Yeah, and so a lot of these, and here's why, is that these selection courses, they'll give you the opportunity to highlight your strengths, but they are designed to expose weakness. So, like, let's not forget, like, you can, in the same token, I do not want my athletes, if they're going to buds or whatever selection program, I don't want them to do only competitive powerlifting or only Olympic weightlifting. In the same token, I don't want them to do all just run, because understand this, again, I'll repeat it. Buds or any selection course, SWAT selection, the firefighter, I forget the acronym for the firefighter course that they often pass. Anyway.
The CPAT?
The CPAT. Yeah. It is designed to expose weakness.
Yeah.
Not like a weak, you know, character, like, but again, those weaknesses of like, because that's those weaknesses in a time of great need are going to expose themselves. And that's what we're trying to mitigate.
Yeah. But think of it this way too. Yes, these selection programs expose weaknesses, but so does the job.
Yeah.
The job will expose your weaknesses too. And by the time you get to your job, you want to have turned these weaknesses into somewhat of a strength, or at least a less of a weakness. Yeah. But, you know, think of it this way. I mean, regular civilians, and you can see it, and I hate to appear like I am capitalizing off a disaster, but if you look at Hurricane Harvey, there are people who are saving people, and there are people who are needing to be saved, right? Hurricane Harvey exposed those people's weaknesses, Right. Yeah. And that's, you know, some people just have a, you know, you're disabled, you know, you're elderly, you know, there are some people that are just, you know, need help, you know, need saving, but those are the type of things that, you know, life will expose these weaknesses as well. You know, so I think, you know, when we say tactical fitness, I mean, we all can be tactical athletes, you know, because, you know, you never know what emergency situation can occur, whether it's a flood, whether it's a fire in your house and you have to go and rescue your kids out of the bedroom and, you know, carry people out that are unconscious. I mean, those are type of things that I think that are my reasons why I train, you know, to be able to help my family in those situations.
You just got it in my head.
What's that?
I said, you just got something, got it in my head. You know what term I have not looked up in forever?
Oh, yeah.
It's tactical. I don't even know. It says, that's what I Googled because I started thinking. I was like, what exactly is it clear? I mean, we in our head kind of like, this just sound terrible, but I was like, you know, people say it's pornography and be like, well, how do you know? You know when you see it.
Right.
Tactical is kind of like, well, is it tactical? I don't know. I guess so. Here it says relating to or consisting actions carefully planned to gain specific military end. I mean, I guess that's a little more specific than I thought it would be.
Yeah.
I mean, it has other sort of verbs and pronouns. So, but my point is that you're right on target. I think that, you know, trying to think of it. All this stuff objectively, it's hard. It's really, really hard to look at these things objectively because we don't want to expose our weaknesses. We want to highlight our strengths. And that is where, you know, when you're dealing with, and I think that's maybe the tactical thing for me, I would say is like, you're dealing with people and you're dealing with unquestionably random sort of outcomes that could potentially be dangerous, you know, and I think that that's tactical and it's hard to wrap your head around that sort of ambiguousness and go, well, how do I prepare for that ambiguousness? Well, the best way that we can prepare for ambiguousness in the tactical environment is two ways. And this is what I was taught. One is be as skillful as you can with your weapons of trade or your tools of trade, like firearms, you know, the machinery in the firehouse, you know, that engine is your life. The ladder is their life. You have to, which is why it's so amazing why firefighters take such great care of their gear.
Oh,
it's a great lesson to be learned because that's their skill. Those are their tools of their skill. Master it. Like, if you want to see someone master their tool in the military, get with a heavy gunner on a Humvee or something in the Marine Corps. Those guys can disassemble and assemble a weapon system magnificently. It's better than anyone I've ever seen. Now, also, the other side is understanding, master your skill. The other thing is master your level of fitness. Those are the two things that we can control. And that's where I my hair turns gray, and I want to pull it out because you see that so much that's the conundrum is you see the tactical space, military, fire, and police master their skills, but what we haven't done, and I blame this on the perpetual fitness training, strength conditioning nonsense sometimes, is that we have treated training and fitness as this ambiguous thing that we can't understand. We absolutely 100% conclusively can come to an ethical and analytical and objective conclusion on how to train these individuals. That's the point. That's my soapbox speech for the day. Cause we not just Stu and I, but as practitioners and physiologists and tactical consumers like Stu and I still are, I still work on shooting and these things because I enjoy it, but I like honing that skill. I don't want to lose that skill, but also that's why I train every day. It's number one, I enjoy it, but I don't want to lose my skill.
Yeah. And, you know, here's another one. This one, absolutely, when I saw Hurricane Harvey and the flood that was occurring, you know, throughout that massive city of, you know, Houston and all the surrounding areas, is I thought of this, and this is absolutely terrifying to me, is think about how many people could not swim in that, and they were trapped. I mean, how I can't imagine how I would feel if I was surrounded by water and I could not swim.
Yeah.
I mean, that
especially, that, I mean, I get, like, you know, if you fall off the aircraft carrier in the middle of the Atlantic, there's nothing we can do about that. But you're right. Like, there are certain things in life that we are afraid of, and we go, wait a minute. Like deadlifts. People are afraid of deadlifts.
Yeah.
People are afraid of swimming. People are afraid of a lot of things that the skill and the mastery and the people to teach that are readily available.
Yes.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
But now, and again, it's just to be completely transparent and clear too, is like, we're trying to be as objective as possible, especially with the hurricane piece. Like, we just, it's a valuable lesson to be learned on just skill acquisition. Now, I'm not a master. There's a lot of things I can't do. Believe me. And I always wonder, it's like, man, I should learn how to take apart and assemble a combustion engine.
Yeah. That'd be a good skill.
I think I would enjoy doing it, but I've taken apart my lawnmowers a couple times and cleaned the carburetors and reassembled them. I can do it. Thanks for YouTube. Thanks to YouTube.
Yeah,
but some of these, so again, focusing more on like what we're trying to talk about, military, police, and law enforcement, is that it's a skill, just like you master the skill of your profession as a firefighter and police officer. Let's start working towards mastering physical readiness and physical fitness and training.
Yeah.
Because we can, and we should be.
Yeah. And here's the deal. Here's the reason why. You know, if you need a why, is this, is that one day your fitness level will determine whether or not you will be able to save yourself, save someone needing assistance, save your partner. I mean, that's a really big why, you know, and you can fix that if you are not in what you think is the type of shape that would allow you to be able to do that. You can fix that. And it's not going to happen overnight, but it just needs a little bit of consistency and basic planning. I mean, you don't have to have a world-class program to do these things. I mean, if you did some calisthenics, some mild cardio, and some stretching, you would start seeing progress within a couple of weeks, and you start feeling better almost immediately, you know, and then within a month, you're going to be losing weight. And, you know, then you can start evolving into adding, you know, more stuff that maybe you did when you were younger in the weight room, and start going back to old school powerlifting routines when you were a football player in high school. You know, fitness is a journey. And no matter where you are, no matter what job you're in, is that journey can take you in so many different paths. I mean, I've gone from powerlifting football player to triathlete to, you know, adventure racer, you know, all these different things that just kind of evolve into each other. And now I'm kind of looping back around and playing around more with the powerlifting.
Yep.
And adding more mobility. Maybe I'm even thinking about yoga and doing more non-impact stuff.
Pilates instead is great.
Of running. Yeah.
Big fan of Pilates.
So it's a journey.
To add on to this is my last piece, and to add on to the why, is that I try to do my best to articulate how I feel, because it's the only thing that ever really scared me in terms of about, like, it's what drove me to train the way I do still to this day. It was because if I can't save myself, like, in any way, if I can't egress myself out of a structure through across the great distance, you know, especially since I have a 10-year-old son now, and I have people that I care about and other people that would depend on me if things got to the point where there needed some assistance. If I can't get myself two through and over something, move something, then how am I, how the hell am I ever going to be able to do that for myself and my son or any other children or anything else? Like, if you can't save yourself, especially in the line of duty, then what are we doing? Like, if you can't, you know, and I'm not saying everyone should be able to do 15 or 20 pull-ups and deadlift twice their body weight. That's not at all what I'm saying. But if you can't get the tools of your trade on and navigate to, through, and over objects, you failed. This is the military and tactical space is a no fail space.
Yeah.
If you fail, somebody dies.
Right.
So, okay. So that's the severity of it. I know you know that, but we can only keep ourselves accountable. I need to be 45 and 50 years old and be able to go to, through, and around and over and under stuff. Because my fear is that at some point, it's not a morbid thought. I'm not zombie apocalypse stuff, but what a terrible way to go is not be able to save yourself.
Yeah. Yeah.
So anyways, that's just my thoughts.
So anyway, this is, we didn't really talk a lot about specifics of, training programs, but I don't think this is the venue to do that. You know, we'll put some links down in the description. You can get in contact with us if you have those specific questions of type of, selection programs you are looking for.
Right.
Happy to help you with those. But anyway, it's serious business. And I love the term tactical as part of this type of fitness genre. When I started writing about it, people would ask me what I do. And I said, well, I write about military law enforcement and firefighter fitness. It's much easier to say tactical fitness now, and people kind of get it. They understand what it means. So, this is a good one, Jeff. I think at worst it was a nice little motivational piece for people right. people to get off their ass and go work out. So
yeah, so people you at first you guys may not know this, but maybe it's pretty obvious. We don't necessarily have a script. We have like the nucleus of what we want to cover, and then we're comfortable about how to expand from it because we have had these conversations not just Stu and I together, but with so many of you all, thousands upon thousands of times.
Yeah.
And you guys kind of drive the content, and like, who emailed me the last couple of days, or who do I talk to? And this kind of influences that. So, we don't think that it's necessarily to keep this really rigid objective thing, unless again, we're going to cover programming or something, but just we're passionate about what we do, and some of this stuff, we just got to let our heart take us where it needs to go.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, I think it was a good one. I appreciate it, Jeff. This is a lot of fun as always.
Absolutely. We'll do it again.
All right. We'll be in touch, and we'll come up with something new.
We'll do. Take care.
All right. We'll see you.